We come to this morning's message, which is entitled The Bright and Morning Star. Christmas is here again. It is supposed to be the day when we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many today, as we all know, do not celebrate the person, but they celebrate the day. We see them enjoying themselves, which is not wrong in itself. We know many friends last night who went around staying up late in town, drinking, buying and selling, and there was much program on the television and in the pubs and in the city everywhere. But among the people who are so joyful, we know that there are others who are seeking to know the true God. The people around us are joyful for the wrong reason. They take it as an opportunity to enjoy themselves because it is a public holiday. There is much festivities with the streets and the shopping malls decorated with loud music everywhere, and therefore people's hearts are moved. We are emotional creatures. We are easily influenced by music, and all of us are excited. But we know that there are those who seek to know God, and all of you are gathered here today with that purpose, to want to worship the true God, to want to celebrate Christmas in the right way. And you have come to hear what God's Word has to say about the celebration of this person. We do not want to be carried away by the mood of the world. We want to really worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, how may we know how best or what is the right way to worship or to celebrate? Now, we can know only through the Bible. The Bible tells us what God has done in order that we may be reconciled to Him. The Bible shows to us that God has provided us the way of salvation. So we want to consider two questions. The first question is, who are we celebrating? And the second question is, what should our response be to Him? Kita ingin mengetahui siapakah dia yang kita meraihkan. Dan soalan kedua yang kita ingin menanya ialah, apakah sepatutnya respon kita terhadap orang ini? Mula-mula sekali kita ingin menjawab soalan, siapakah dia sebenarnya yang kita meraihkan? We wish to ask the first question. Who exactly are we celebrating? Now, the answer may be found in the account given to us in Matthew chapter 2. We are told of wise men who came far from the east to worship this child who was born to the Virgin Mary. Now, we are not told that there are actually three wise men. A lot of people think that there are three wise men simply because three different types of gifts are given: gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But there is no reason why we must assume that one man gave one gift. Instead, we should rather see that because the Bible does not tell us how many men there were, the important thing is more to note that these wise men came from the east and not the number of them. In fact, we can say that it's probably five or more wise men who came, and they were most likely accompanied by their servants, because for people to travel far by camel or by donkey, now they will need servants to help them. So most likely there were five or more men who came. So the number of men who came is not the important point. The important point is rather that these wise men came so far to seek out this child that has been born. Now, where did they come from? We are told they came from the east. East of Israel. Israel east of Jerusalem. Now, it could not be Arabia. It could not be Middle Persia, which is today's Iran. Why? Because the wise men from this region at that time were not known for their study of the stars. Instead, if we were to cast our eyes further to Babylon, in what is today's Iraq, by the river Euphrates and Tigris, now we would know that there is this center of study of the stars. Now, even in the days of Daniel, 800 years before Christ was born, Daniel had already been involved with the study of the stars. Daniel, as we know, was taken away from Israel. He was one of the young men taken away by Nebuchadnezzar. And while in Babylon, he rose up high to be a very high official in the palace of the king. And we are told that Daniel became the one in charge of the wise men in the palace. We are told in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, for example, then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Who were these wise men? What did they do? In chapter 5, verse 11 of Daniel, we are told, there is a man in your kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy God, and in the days of your father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, were found in him. And King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, made him chief of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. Now, so we know now, who are these wise men? These were wise men who studied the stars, who were great astronomers, who understood the rotation of the earth and the revolution of the earth around the sun. They understood the different constellations in the sky. They knew at what time of the year what constellation would be seen. They knew how to navigate or travel through the desert by just watching the stars. Now, these were people well trained in the art of astronomy and astrology. Now, it was likely that some element of religious worship came in. But as for Daniel, he was a person who kept himself clear of any pagan religions. He was placed in charge of this wise man. So Daniel would have had a positive influence upon this wise man to remove all superstition and to concentrate on proper scientific studies. And furthermore, Daniel became so very highly respected in the whole empire that the Jews were looked upon with favor throughout the land. And it was in this situation that the Jewish scriptures became spread throughout the whole empire. So the Old Testament as we know it today, the Old Testament which was used in those days, parts of the Old Testament were already circulated. The five books of Moses, for example, they were used by Daniel and the Jews at that time. So we know at least the five books of Moses were circulated. And we know that Daniel understood that he was a prophet of God, and that everything that he wrote down was actually scripture. And we know that subsequently people like Jeremiah read the book of Daniel. So it follows that whatever was written down as scripture at that time was spread throughout the kingdom. So we know that the Jewish scriptures had a tremendous influence upon the lives of the people. Consider now the wise men whom Daniel were in charge of. Daniel's influence would have been upon them as well. And if people in the whole empire were studying the Jewish scriptures, We know for sure that these wise men would be the chief among them to seek out the truth in those scriptures. So we are not surprised if these wise men really came from Babylon. They already had the means to know the stars and the skies, and when a star that was different from normal appeared, they knew that that was very unusual. And based on their understanding of the Jewish scriptures, they already knew that the Jews were expecting the coming of a Savior, the Messiah. So these people were looking for the coming of the Messiah with great anticipation. Although they were not themselves Jews, they knew that the true God had spoken to the Jews through their scriptures. They knew therefore that there was this expected Savior who was about to come. Now, these were the wise men who traveled far to come and seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. Consider how they were guided to Him. They saw an unusual star in the sky. It is unusual, otherwise they would not have followed it. Many people today have tried to explain it in a natural way. They claim that there was the possibility of two planets coming into conjunction. In other words, they came close to one another, such that from the earth, when you look at the two planets together, they look like a very big star with the sun's light reflected from the two planets. But that is not a good explanation. Others say that it was a comet, but these astrologers and astronomers would have known a comet from a star. Others said that it is some other stars that have somehow appeared. But whatever star you mention, you cannot tie it in with what is taught in the scripture. The scripture shows to us that this star was really unusual. So unusual that these astronomers and astrologers knew that they were faced with something unique. Now, one thing about this star was that it remained for some time, and this wise man understood it to mean that the expected Savior has arrived. And as they consulted, as they talked, as they studied, and they discovered that this star was not an ordinary star, they began to form the conclusion that the Savior must have arrived. So they began to set off from their homeland, and they traveled a total of over 700 miles. Now today, 700 miles by car on good highways is nothing to us. But let us remember that in those days, traveling across rough terrain, through wild country, by animals, and often on foot, now this was not an easy thing. It was a very difficult journey. And yet, they were prepared to travel the 700 plus miles in order to seek out this Savior whom they were expecting. Now when they arrived in Jerusalem, they asked around in the city, "Where is born this King of the Jews?" And as the word got around, King Herod got news about these strangers who had come looking for the King of the Jews. And King Herod actually reigned in the year 40 BC to 4 BC. But you say, that cannot be, because the Lord Jesus Christ was supposed to be born in 0 AD. Then from 0 we count downwards. Our calendar is based on the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Actually, it is known that the Lord Jesus Christ was born round about 5 BC. And that is why it coincides with the Bible's account that King Herod, Herod the Great, was reigning in Israel in those days. Who was this Herod the Great? Herod the Great was of Edomite descent. In other words, he was not a pure Jew, although the Edomites were a people related to the Jews. But because he was not a pure Jew, he married a Jewish woman who was the daughter of the high priest of Jerusalem at that time. And this Herod the Great became the king of the Jews by the appointment of the Roman emperor. And the emperor at that time happened to be Julius Caesar. And what happened is Julius Caesar appointed his father actually to be the king in Israel. The father then appointed the son to take over. And so when we come to the time of Herod the Great, we actually know that he reigned in Israel from 40 BC to 4 BC. And Herod the Great was known to be a very wicked man. He was so suspicious of everyone that he killed many of his own children. And finally he killed his own wife. He wanted his way. He wanted to protect himself. Now the question may be asked, why then was the Lord Jesus Christ born around about the year 5 BC? Now what happened was this. We are not uncertain about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are only uncertain about the actual date of his birth. A lot of people think that the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ is something that we do not take seriously. We should not take seriously. They think that Jesus Christ is perhaps just a story created by the Christians who are pious and want somebody to cling to. But actually, he's a historical figure who was born in the reign of Herod the Great. The discrepancy in the date arose as a result of the Roman way of calculating time. And what happened was that in those days, the Romans were using a system of calendar such that over the years, the error accumulated resulted in the seasons being different by almost a quarter of a year. So let us say in May and June you expect to have summer. They have summer instead in September and October. And in December and January you are supposed to have winter. You have winter instead in March and April. So the calendar, the inaccurate calendar that was being used at that time resulted in the days being different, accumulated over the years, and finally it resulted in such a situation. So what happened was that Julius Caesar appointed someone to rework the calendar based on the circulation of the earth around the sun. And so what happened was that Julius Caesar found that he had to impose some drastic action upon the days so that he can bring back summer to the middle of the year and winter at the end of the year. So what happened was that in the year 46 BC, he introduced extra months into that particular year. And it caused such confusion that the people began to regard that year as the year of confusion. But he managed to bring the seasons back to where they should be. And so that was how the calendar became readjusted. And then many years later, the Gregorian calendar was used. And that is the calendar that we are using today. And because of using a different but more accurate calendar now, we discover that we have to readjust the calculation of the years, with the result that based on the present calendar, the birth of Jesus Christ actually fell round about the year 5 BC. So we are certain of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, although the date has to be readjusted like that. And so our certainty lies not in the reality of the birth of Christ. Our uncertainty lies more in the exact date of his birth. But what is important for us is the celebration of the coming of the Son of God. When the Lord Jesus Christ was born, angels appeared to the shepherds in the field and declared his coming. It is good news. And then angels began to sing in heavenly voices.
And the shepherds went to look for this child to worship him. And they went away full of joy. And we know that people like Elizabeth and Zacharias had been informed in advance about the coming of this child. And we know that Joseph and Mary knew that this child was coming into their family. And although Mary was not married, Mary was not living as wife to Joseph yet, but nevertheless she was found to be with child. And all this was amazing news to everyone. And all their hearts were lifted up. Mary burst into song in praise of God for the salvation that is now coming to them. So there was celebration at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we want to really follow the Bible, then we need also to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must make sure that we celebrate His birth in the right way. We must not celebrate it in the way of the world. Christians have always been celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ because it is good news to man. It is an important event, and it is biblical to celebrate the coming of the Savior. But what happened was that in the year around about 400 AD, the Emperor Constantine, being a pragmatic emperor who claimed to have become a Christian, trying to unite the empire. And since the Christians were celebrating the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ based on one date, and then the Eastern Church was celebrating it based on another date, and then the pagans in the empire were celebrating their own religious festivals, this emperor decided that one good way of uniting the whole nation was to make them celebrate just on one day. And so the date was chosen for the whole empire to celebrate on that particular day. Many Christian churches opposed that. But with time it became accepted, especially in the Western Church. But the Eastern Church continued to celebrate it on the 14th of January. But what we want to take note of is the fact that although pagan elements have come in, Christians have always wanted to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in a spiritual way. And this is what we want to do. We want to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ in the right way, in the way taught to us in the Bible. And we come back to these wise men who were guided by the stars, and they came to Jerusalem. And Herod the Great, being the man that he was very suspicious when he heard that someone called the King of the Jews had been born. So he sent these wise men away and said to them that if you find him, let me know so that I can worship him as well. But actually, he did not have any intention of worshipping this child that has been born. And he wanted to know when they saw the star, because the star appeared in the east and then it disappeared. So Herod knew that that child was still very young. And by the time this wise man arrived in Jerusalem, he was already a few months old. And Joseph and Mary had already settled down in Bethlehem. They have bought a house and they were in this house of their own. They were no more in the manger. Jesus Christ was born in the manger. But now they have settled in Bethlehem in this house. And amazingly, the star which the wise men had seen in the east now reappeared. And this star was low enough and moving to guide them to the house. And it settled above a certain house, and this wise man came and knew that that was the house. So you see now that all explanations based on natural phenomena to explain the appearance of this star, all the explanations have failed to fit the biblical data. We must conclude that it was a miraculous sign given by God. The star was not a planet. The star was not the ordinary stars in the sky. The star specially appeared on that occasion to indicate who
has been born. Now, this person must be very unusual. Stars in the mind of many people throughout the world up to today speaks of someone who is king. And that is why King David is represented by the Star of David. And many countries that are sovereign, they want to show that they are an independent country. They use the star. So a star today speaks of someone great, someone prominent, someone whom we respect and admire highly. Today, we call those actors whom we like, who are popular, a film star. They are film stars. Then singers are stars. Footballers are stars. But actually, most people originally look upon the star as a symbol of the greatness of the kings. And that is where we must remember that when the star appeared to guide the wise men to the birth of to this child that has been born, we must understand that this child is a special child. That is why long ago, in the year round about 1500 BC, in the time of Moses, there was this prophet by the name of Balaam. He was inspired by the Spirit of God to utter some truths concerning the coming of this Savior. And this is printed for you on the sheet. In Numbers 24:17, he said, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star shall come out of Jacob, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of Tumult." Now, who is this person spoken of by Balaam? Some people say it was David. David rose to be king of Israel, and he really destroyed Moab, and he destroyed all the surrounding nations who troubled Israel. But actually, David, although he did all this, did not fulfill all that was spoken of in these words. Because these words speak of him as someone who is great and who shall rule over Israel, and not only rule in a very imperfect way like David, but rather these words and the context and all other prophecies concerning him show that he is much greater than David, that he is going to rule not only over the nation of Israel, but instead he is going to be someone much, much greater than that. Then, when we come to the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, we see Scripture showing to us who he really is. And we know that the prophecy of Balaam is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ, because by the time we come to the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 22 verse 16, which I have printed out for you as well, we are told what the Lord Jesus Christ said to John on the island of Patmos. He said, "I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." So we know that the person referred to by Balaam is actually the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ himself refers to himself as a bright and morning star. Now he is bright. He's not just an ordinary star. He's a bright star. And he's a morning star. Just as night has passed and the morning is rising, so Jesus Christ has come to bring a new age. Jesus Christ has come to bring a new day. Jesus Christ has come to give new life to those who come to faith in him. Now this is what we want to say now. More about this star. Now, this star, the bright and morning star, referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he is King of the Jews. He is going to be a descendant of David. He is going to fulfill the scripture. He is the one promised by God in the Old Testament times. And sure enough, when Mary was betrothed to Joseph, and although they had not come to live together as husband and wife, Mary was found to be with child. And Joseph, being a righteous man, wanted to separate from Mary.
But an angel of God appeared to him and said to him not to do so, because the child found in Mary was conceived by the Spirit of God. He was therefore not an ordinary child. And Joseph was to continue to regard Mary as his wife, but they did not come together to live as husband and wife until that child was born. And therefore, Joseph was legally speaking the father of the Lord Jesus Christ, although biologically he was not the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was conceived in the womb of Mary by a miraculous act of the Holy Spirit. Now, traced along the line of Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ was a descendant of David. If you look at Matthew chapter 1, if you have the Bible with you, otherwise you listen. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 16, we are told, "And Jacob begot Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ." So Jesus Christ, therefore, legally speaking, was a descendant of David. He therefore fulfilled the scripture that he is rightfully king. He is actually the person spoken of in the Old Testament. And traced from the line of Mary as well, we will discover that Jesus Christ also descended from the line of David. So this person is going to be of royal blood. Jesus Christ is actually King of the Jews. Then we know also that he is God. He is not an ordinary person. He is God. In Matthew chapter 1, in verse 21, we are told, "And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So this is the second thing that we must know, that he is actually God. He is not an ordinary person. And then thirdly, we must understand that he is going to save them, save his people from their sins. So these are the three things that we must note about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is of royal descent. He is actually somehow God. And he has come to save his people from their sins. Now these three truths must be grasped if we want to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we want to celebrate the person and not just the day, then we must come to understand that he is of royal descent, therefore he has power to rule, and that he is somehow God, and that he has come to save his people from their sins. Now these three points about the Lord Jesus Christ, once grasped, will transform your understanding of who he really is and why we are celebrating his birth. Now the wise men who came to worship the Lord Jesus Christ understood these three things. In the passage which we are speaking from in Matthew chapter 2, we see them referring to the Lord Jesus Christ as King of the Jews. And they brought frankincense, which is a fragrant gum from a tree. And frankincense in the Old Testament times was mixed with oil and some other herbs to be burned to God, because it produces a sweet-smelling smoke to God. It speaks of prayer. And therefore, this wise man actually was acknowledging Jesus Christ as God. The goal that he gave to him was to show that he is king. But the frankincense is to show that he is God. And then they also gave him myrrh, which is the dried gum of a balsam tree. And this myrrh was used in those days for embalming the dead. It was used for other purposes as well, such as in perfume. But the chief purpose is to embalm the dead. And so they knew that this person whom they have come to worship is somehow going to lay down his life. He's going to die. And somehow by his death, he's going to save sinners. So they gave him myrrh. So these three gifts show to us that somehow they have come to understand that the person whom they are worshipping is King, and he is God, and he has come to be the Savior of sinners. Kita seharusnya tahu orang-orang bijaksana yang datang dari timur itu datang menyembah Yesus Kristus. Mereka mengenali Yesus Kristus sebagai seorang raja dan sebagai Tuhan dan juga juru selamat kepada orang-orang berdosa. Itulah sebabnya mereka membawa hadiah-hadiah itu kepada Yesus Kristus. Now we need next to consider what should our response to him be. If you are clear now that Christmas is meant to celebrate Jesus Christ, we are not here to celebrate the day as though the day is somehow so special. It could have been any other day, just as you celebrate your birthday. So how do you know that that exactly is the day? The birthday is past. Now you're only celebrating, remembering the day you were born. And as the years go by, you discover there is the leap year. So you have to add an additional day. So that does not correspond exactly to the day 1 year after you were born or 1 year after you have celebrated the last time. So the day, the exact day is not the important thing. It is the occasion, what it means. And therefore, the occasion of Christmas speaks to us of the coming of the Savior. Don't miss the person who has come to us. He is King, He is God, and He is Savior of sinners. Now, what should our response to Him be? Apa seharusnya respon kita terhadap orang ini? Kalaulah dia Raja, kalau dia Tuhan, kalau dia Juru Selamat kepada orang-orang berdosa, apakah respon kita terhadapnya? Firstly, we take note that the wise men made great efforts to come to seek out this man. They have studied the scriptures of the Jews to understand that he was going to be the King of the Jews, that he is somehow God, and that he is going to save his sinners from their sins. So effort was made in order to study and understand these things. Then we take note that they traveled very far, over more than 700 miles through difficult terrain in order to seek out the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came knowing that He is the promised Savior. Now my question to you is, do you make such effort to learn more about who this person is? Or do you get carried away by the world to celebrate the day with the jollity of the world? Then each Christmas will just pass by without true meaning to you. Now we must come to study and consider who exactly we are celebrating. We need to make effort to come to know more about him. Now consider Herod. Herod found out that this person born King of the Jews was in Bethlehem. Now Bethlehem was only 5 miles away from Jerusalem. But he would not lift his feet to begin walking to Jerusalem to search out this man. Instead, he said, told the wise man, "You go and find out where he is and then come and tell me." Now, unlike Herod and unlike the Jews of those days who were expecting the coming of the Savior and yet made no effort to seek him out, this wise man took all the effort to find out more about him, to travel over 700 miles and to seek him out exactly which house he was in. Now that is the first response. Effort must be made to find out more about this Savior who is King, who is God. If you do not make effort to seek him out, it shows that you are not interested in him. And if you are not interested in him, then you are not celebrating Christmas in the right way. Then secondly, this wise man mentioned that they have come to worship him. To worship means to express your reverence, your deep and high respect for this person. And they came to give him this gift, to show to him that they really come to honor him and they want to submit their lives to him. They want to make him the Lord of their lives. They want to make this child their King, their God, their Savior. Now the question is, do you worship the Lord Jesus Christ as your King, as your God, as your Savior? Have you understood that Jesus Christ came in order to die on the cross to bear the sins of his people? Are you one of his people who have been convicted of your sins, who have turned to trust in him for acceptance before God? Now, you must come to him and worship him like the wise man. You must believe that he really is king over all kings. You really must believe that he is the Son of God. He's divine. That's why his sacrifice of himself on the cross is the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And you must come to acknowledge him as your Savior. So turn from your sin to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in order that you may have him as your Lord and your Savior. Now that is the second response that you must have. You must not only seek him out, you must not only make effort to find out more about Jesus Christ, you must also come and submit yourself to him, to worship him as your Lord and your God. Finally, we take note that the wise men offered gifts to him which spoke of their submission, their prayer, and their service. Now, you must understand that you recognize the person as king. But if he is just king in your mind, but not in your life, not in your heart, it is useless. You can say, oh, that person is the king of your country. But you don't live in that country. You are not the citizens of that country. Therefore, that king is not really your king. But this wise man came to offer up gold to this person, to indicate that they were submitting their lives to this person as their king. Then they acknowledge him as God, so they give him frankincense to say that we are now prepared to pray to you. We are prepared to worship you. Then when they gave to him myrrh, they were in fact saying, we know that somehow you are going to lay down your life to save your people from their sins. So for ourselves, we are prepared to be associated with you, to be joined with you. We are prepared to suffer for our faith in you. Now that should be the response of every heart. The wise men offered up gifts to show that they were not only having an intellectual understanding of who Jesus Christ is, but they were actually saying, we are submitting ourselves to you as our God, as our Lord. So you see now, you must make effort to find out more about Jesus Christ. And you must come to worship him. And you must be prepared in your life to show that he is your Lord, he is your God, even if sufferings come to you. Kita seharusnya respon kepada Yesus Kristus dengan membuat usaha, berusaha untuk mengenali siapa dia sebenarnya. Dan kita sepatutnya menyembah dia sebagai Raja dan juga Tuhan kepada kita. Dan kita seharusnya sanggup untuk melayaninya tak kira apapun sengsara yang kita akan hadapi. Itu dia respon yang sepatutnya kita bagi kepada Yesus Kristus. Now today we are going to witness a baptism. And this baptism is going to show to us that one more person has understood that Jesus Christ has come to this world. He is King. He is God. He is Savior. And this person is going to say to us by his baptism that I am here to acknowledge my submission to this Lord, to my submission to this King. I want to worship him and I want to follow him for the rest of my life. Come what may, whatever may happen, I am going to follow the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my God. And she is none other than the person whom we call Auntie Yap, Madam Yeo Po Lien. So today, as we witness this baptism, we want to remember the true meaning of Christmas, and let this be the invitation for to all of us to come and seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and worship him, and to come and give our life to him, believing that he will see us through whatever the trials of life may be. As long as we are willing to crown him as our Lord and God,
He will rule over us. He will protect us. He will bring us safely through to the time when all believers will be gathered together in that happier place, in heaven, when all sins in this world will no more trouble us. Now we look forward to that great day when we will be welcomed into the kingdom of heaven. Meanwhile, let us seek to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us submit our lives to Him. We now call upon